Junior Jules. I'm Carly.
And I'm Jess, and we are the hosts of Typical Tuesday Night,
a Taylor Swift podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to Typical Tuesday Night. We are freaking out.
Yes, we are.
Freaking out, because at the end of this week, we will officially have the Tortured Poets Department album.
It almost feels weird to say that.
I know.
Like, wait, it's here?
It's been really a long here,
like
time
the end
coming.
Of this week. It, for reals, though. For reals. So today we have to discuss all of our thoughts, theories, assumptions, like all the things to get us even more excited, if that's like even possible. I feel like I've already reached my max excitement, but I have a feeling that discussing all of this today is going to make me even more excited for the album dropping Friday.
I literally can't believe it's this week.
I know.
Okay, so really quick, we wanted to mention, we live in Utah, and if you are local to us, we are actually hosting a listening party. So it's going to be super fun. We'll have snacks, we'll have some raffle prizes, we'll do group therapy as we listen to the album.
Not really, though.
It's going to be super fun. So if you're interested in coming, the space is limited. So if you want to come, make sure to get in touch with us. You can, the easiest way is going to Instagram, sending us a DM. Our Instagram is at typicaltuesdaynight.podcast. Or if you want to email us, you can email us at typicaltuesdaynightpodcast@gmail.com. We'll put all that in the show notes so that you can reference it. Yep. But if you want to get a ticket, reach out to us. We'd love to have you come.
Yeah, it would be so fun to like meet people that are listening to the podcast. And like you said, just listen to the album together. It's going to be way more fun
together.
Yeah, I think to experience this album with other Swifties and just do it together.
Yes, it will be so fun. So, okay, and before we jump into all of these theories, we do want to quickly talk about, we weren't planning on talking about this because it just happened, you know, about a week ago, but Taylor, if you didn't see, she released some exclusive playlists on Apple Music, and they are like, she basically said they're in conjunction with the, she called it Five Stages of Heartbreak. And so if you didn't know, there were a bunch of fan theories about each variant of the Tortured Poets Department matching up with like the five stages of grief or things like that. And I'm going to read this little like blurb from Apple Music talking about this. And because it just kind of explains it. So I'll just read part of it. Basically, it says that once the album was released, the Swifties began hunting, assembling, and pinning clues to digital corkboards, eventually landing on the theory that her 11th studio album is sure to explore the five stages of heartbreak. And when Swifties agree upon a theory, Taylor takes an interest. So naturally, she responded by crafting a series of exclusive playlists, choosing songs of her own from her previous music catalog that fit each stage. So I don't know if that really means that like we were onto it, or if she was like, oh, that's a cool theory. Like, let's explore that more. Yeah.
Like, because I'll make this happen.
Yeah. And so she made five different playlists. I don't know if you have it up, Carly, but
yeah, I have them.
Okay. You can read
it. So these might not be in the right order, but so we have I Love You, It's Ruining My Life, which is Denial. And then Old Habits Die Screaming, which is Depression. And then Am I Allowed to Cry, which is Bargaining. You Don't Get to Tell Me About Sad, which is Anger. And then I Can Do It with a Broken Heart, which is Acceptance.
Yes. So she made these playlists with songs from all her past albums except for Reputation and Debut. And I assume that's because she doesn't own the music, so she's not going to promote like streaming them, which I'm kind of sad about. I would have really loved to see where she put Reputation songs.
Yes.
For sure.
Like, but where are you putting Gorgeous? Where are you putting Delicate? Where, you know?
But we loved, we were seriously, we were texting, we were freaking out because these came out after we had recorded our music deep dives, and some of these playlists like really, really solidified some of the like theories that we and like like the epiphanies that we had while doing those deep dives, especially which playlist was it? Was it Bargaining or Denial?
It was Bargaining. So the Am I Allowed to Cry, you guys, it has The Great War, Peace, The Archer, Afterglow.
Yeah.
Like literally all of those songs that we talked about and how they were connected and how she was like basically bargaining.
Yeah.
Like negotiating, like, hey, let's, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my gosh. I can't believe all those songs are on the same playlist. It was nuts.
It really did make us feel like we
were onto something.
What am I trying to say? Yeah, like we were onto something. We had figured it out.
Yeah, we'd cracked the code. Just kidding. Oh. We really know she did it because she listened to the podcast and she liked what we
said.
Could
you imagine? She's like, I love those connections that they made.
She's like, oh, I never thought about that before.
I would die if she listened to this. Oh my gosh.
Anyways.
But I do want to talk about the Denial playlist because I've seen a lot of stuff about that. So that one is the I Love You, It's Ruining My Life. And I know a lot of people are really sad.
Yeah.
When they look at this playlist because, for example, it has like Sweet Nothing, Cruel Summer, Lover, you know. Glitch, Betty, Lavender Haze, Snow on the Beach. Like a lot of these great love songs that people have come to love. And now they're like, wait, she was in Denial when she wrote these?
Yeah.
And I think for me personally, I feel like this is her looking back. So she wrote Lover from a good place, or at least a place where she was like, I'm in love. And like, I have these feelings, not that she felt like she was in denial while she was writing it. Like, it wasn't actually real love. But now that she's removed from it, she's looking back and saying like, oh, actually, no, I probably was in denial. Like, I wasn't.
Like, there were red flags.
Or like, there were red flags. Or like, that wasn't what I wanted it to be. That wasn't the relationship for me. And I don't think that needs to ruin these songs for everybody.
I know. Like sometimes people take things a little bit too seriously.
Yeah.
And it's like this, I love this because it's just a really fun way to look at some of these songs through a different lens. But that doesn't have to change the meaning of the song and how you perceive it. And like you said, I don't feel like it changes necessarily the way she felt when she wrote it. But like you said, just looking back and being like, you know, now she can see clearly through the lavender haze. You know, she's seeing more clearly like, oh, like, you know, and she was even writing about some of these red flags and it's like she didn't even realize it, you know.
Yep.
There's lots of red flags in Afterglow and some of the, you know, Peace and some of those other songs that seem like on the surface level that they're, you know, happier love songs or like positive love songs. But now that she's out of the relationship, she's like, oh, actually, you know, we did have our problems. And I was just so wanting to make it work that I just.
Yeah. That I was in denial.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think that's okay. It doesn't ruin the song. Like if this was your wedding song that you dance to, it doesn't need to be ruined anymore. Like I've seen people talk about that and I'm like, okay, it's still a great, cute love song. We can all agree that it's okay. But like I think about past relationships that I've had and you like had that cute song with, you know, the boy and then you break up and you're like, well, that song doesn't vibe the same way.
That
like,
song sucks
now. It's a little tarnished a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for
but
sure.
But it's not like I hate that song. It just has a different meaning when I look back. And I'm sure that's just what she's doing too. She's like, Lover is a great song. I just look at it differently now.
Well, think of it from Taylor. Because the
person that I wrote it about
yeah.
is not my lover anymore.
Think of her perspective, like her personal perspective. Like she wrote that lover, for example, she wrote that with Joe. Just because yeah. she's in a relationship that she really likes right now, she's not going to listen to the song Lover and like think of Travis and like.
Yes.
Be like, oh, Travis. She's going to be yeah. like, oh, Joe. Like,
this is Joe. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like what these songs bring up now more yeah, than what sure. it was in the moment. At least that's what how I take it.
Yes.
So. Okay. So today we've gathered a bunch of fun theories that we've found online for the album as like a whole. And then we're going to dive into like the specific songs and just kind of discuss like things we've found and seen. And then it'll be interesting to see if any of these predictions that we've seen are right. And honestly, as I was going through these predictions, I'm going to be so sad if some of these are not accurate.
I know.
Because like I love these predictions so much.
I know. That's the hard thing. Like these are super fun. And this is just, I feel like this totally goes under the category of clowning. Like we're just, it's complete speculation. And unfortunately, like the clowning that's been happening over the last 6 months has been almost all wrong.
I know.
So it's like hard to get your hopes up, but like, it's also still just like so fun to speculate, but also you have yeah. to keep your expectations at bay because I feel yes. like, and I'll talk about this, you know, as we talk about specific songs too, but I just feel like whenever I think something is of Taylor's is going to be one way, it's not.
Not,
and
yeah.
I usually end up really, I still really like it, but it like throws me off and kind of like takes me a second to be like, wait, like I feel like Midnight sounded way different than I expected it to sound.
Yeah, same.
Like sonically, like.
Well, especially after Folklore and Evermore.
Oh, yeah. Well, after Folklore and Evermore and just like the way she promoted the album and the way yes. she dressed and how all of the like branding was kind of like looked like 70s kind yeah. of. And I just didn't expect it to be as pop as it was. Yep. And so I have no idea what to expect.
I know.
Sonically from this album. Yeah. And so I'm really interested to see how it sounds. So
let's all just not get our hopes up too much.
Yes.
Because these predictions are good. They're so good.
Yes.
So first, I think let's talk about like overall album theories. So Jess, like, do you have any theories or thoughts about this album as a whole?
As a whole, I mean, we talked about this a lot already, the You're Losing Me.
Yeah.
But I just really feel like the timing of the release of that song. So it was released, like end of November of 2023. Which was like 7 months after the news of their breakup. And then in addition to it being released on streaming, they specifically told us the date it was written, yeah. which is really weird.
And that is like not a coincidence.
No.
Like that is so mastermind.
So intentional.
Yeah.
And I feel like You're Losing Me is like our warm up to Tortured Poets.
I hope and, so, like, honestly.
This is kind of like a little glimpse. And like, I mean, it's true. That song really makes you look at their relationship differently. I think maybe the things that she'll talk about on Tortured Poets might be like, kind of be like, oh my gosh, wow, didn't see that coming. But with You're Losing Me, it's like, okay, I was ready for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yep. so I definitely feel like as a whole, Joe will be a major theme. I do think there might be a few other themes in the album. Yeah. It's pretty rare for her to have an entire album dedicated to a single person.
Yes, yes.
And even with like what this album is and looks like, I really still don't see her doing an entire album all on Joe.
Yep.
So I think there will be other themes as well. but I don't know. I just...
Yeah, like what that would be.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I'm kind of with you. Like, when I think about what I'm expecting from the album as a whole, I definitely think it's going to be heavy Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, is there anybody else? Maybe like a Maddie Healy song, but I don't know if she's even going to give him the time of day to like put a song out for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that. I personally am leaning towards no Travis songs, but I'm like, maybe, because I feel like, hasn't he mentioned that he's heard some of the album?
He did. And okay. You can't see me, but I'm smiling really big. Because I think there might be a Travis song.
Might be a Travis song. So yeah, and that's the thing is I'm like, I feel like if he has heard some of the album, I feel like those would be songs that would either be about him mm-hmm. or maybe like just things that were happening after her breakup. Yeah. Which kind of gives me more vibes of maybe we're even getting like Joe relationship stuff, breakup, and then I think we're going to get like post-breakup, which we'll talk about in some of these like songs specifically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's yeah. kind of like my thoughts on what might be on the album.
And I'll talk about Maddie later when we talk about specific songs because I –
okay.
When I've been thinking about like, well, which song would be about Matt Healy and yeah. which song would be about Travis?
Yeah.
I feel like I have a hard time guessing which songs might include Travis. But for me, I have a few that are really easy to guess that like maybe would be about Matt.
Yeah.
And so I'll talk about those later. But
okay,
she has been writing this for over 2 years. It was not yeah. It was not completed 2 years ago.
Yes.
It's been in the process for 2 years. So it's going to include things from before 2 years ago. It's going to include yeah. things, you know, up until yeah. now. And as we've seen in past like deep dives of her music, like especially with Harry Styles specifically, because we've done that deep dive.
Yeah.
She put Harry Styles songs on the Red album, like, very close to release. Like,
yes.
Like, these are not songs that like stopped being written a year ago. So that's why yeah. I feel like with how long she's been with Travis at this point, she could totally have one. Maybe what I'm coming to is that maybe she won't have like a whole song that's like, oh my gosh, I love Travis.
Yeah.
But kind of like you were saying, like as part of like post breakup, like
yeah.
he will be part of a theme of a song, but it's not necessarily like a full Travis like song. A Travis, you know? Song.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
for sure,
we'll see.
Oh, it'll be interesting.
I know.
Well, so let's look at some of the theories that like I've seen floating around online. I'm going to let you start.
Okay,
just reading some of these.
Yes. Yeah, so these first few theories are just like about the album overall, and yeah. Some people have said that they think that it's her poetry from the last 10 years, which we don't really agree with. Because first of all, she says she's been working on it for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, like her past songs are her
poetry.
Yeah. And so I don't know that I really see that. And then a lot of people believe that it's a Midnight's sister album, but could potentially be a sister album to both Rep and Lover. Rep was like her falling for him. Lover was while she was in love. And Tortured Poets is her falling out of love. I guess I don't totally like understand like how to define if something's a sister album or not. Yeah. I feel like Folklore and Evermore, I consider sister albums because yes. they released so close together.
Yeah. And they have really sonically like
yes.
similar themes and vibes. Yes.
But like to say, I don't know. I just don't know that I could say that it's a sister album. Secretly, I hope that she's going to release a sister album to Tortured Poets later. Like that's
oh, okay.
really, you know, the twos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe
ooh, I like that. Like
in
that.
A few months she could release yeah. a sister album or something. Oh, That would
Could
be
you
epic.
Imagine if we got another Taylor Swift album so soon after?
Brand new. I know. That would be
I would
amazing.
Love it. Yeah, and I think it probably depends on how you define sister album.
Yes, for sure.
Because like the way they're describing this here, it's like, well, Rep's falling for him, Lovers when she's in love, Tortured Poets is falling out of love. Like, I see where they're coming at, but like to mm-hmm. me, that's not a sister album.
Mm-hmm.
But I see where their idea is.
Yeah,
so.
Totally agree. And then another theory is like, they're saying it's like From the Desk of Taylor Swift. So in Lavender Hay, she says, get it off your chest, get it off my desk. And so I've never really like known how to take those lyrics. And I feel like I've looked at them differently since we've been learning more about their relationship and done more of this deep dive. And to me, I feel like that lyric always just sounded kind of like lighthearted and like fun and whatever. But I actually wonder if those words like are more, they mean a lot more than we realize, you know?
For sure. She's just too... I mean, I know we always give her this amazing credit, but it's because she deserves it.
Yeah.
She's too smart.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, I just like hear that. I'm like, she knows what she's doing. She chooses her words very well. And so to say From the Desk of Taylor Swift, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it has meaning.
It has a connection.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of other theories or things that we just want to point out is the album is releasing on April 19th, and that's the day that she met for dinner with Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, and the same day that all of her friends unfollowed Joe on Instagram. So just something to be aware of if you haven't heard about that. And then another fun little theory, people assume that she posted or she's releasing this on April 19th because that was the start of the Revolutionary War. So,
which if you don't remember your U.S.
your history,
that is the war between
the U.S. and
the U.S. Britain. And Britain. So,
which is so crazy. Like, what?
That's like pretty hilarious.
What are the chances?
Yes. Well, and then also like the name. I mean, we've talked about this previously, but the name of the album, Tortured Poets Department, is totally a reference of a group chat that Joe used to have with some other friends called, I can't ever remember, the Tortured Man Club?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Very, very closely related. And so she's
doing
very intentional. Yeah,
yes.
She's being pretty intentional. Oh my gosh. Okay.
We love it.
Yes. Let's go through the track list now and talk about what our predictions are for each song, our thoughts about them, our excitement levels, and also talk about the cool theories that we found online for each song. So I'll start with the first one.
Okay.
It's Fortnite featuring Post Malone. And then I'm also
so excited for this song.
I know. It's such a... Well, so the song is 3 minutes and 48 seconds. It's kind of in the middle ground of the rest of them.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Fortnite means, it means a period of 2 weeks, and that's a British term.
Which is just like, oh, she's so clever.
I know.
I just will never get over it.
I know. And also, I just think it's super interesting to choose to start the album like the first song of the album's a big deal, so to start that with a collaboration to me is very interesting. Because for some reason like I expect this song to be kind of like upbeat.
I do
just
too.
Like being Post Malone being the first song, but I feel like upbeat doesn't really generalize like how I would think the rest of the album would be.
Yeah.
So it's like an interesting, I don't
like
know.
Choice.
I think that one's going to be a little unexpected and I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel like Post Malone is such a great collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing so many more collaborations with people and artists recently. And I love his style as a collaborator. And I feel like I always love the first tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having him on that first track, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And I feel like she wouldn't put it first if it didn't
deserve slap. To be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if it wasn't just like, this is a great song.
Yes.
Like, I don't care that there's a collaborator. I don't care that it's not, like, not just me.
Yeah.
Like, this song is it, you guys.
Well, and like, what? 2 weeks of what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people have been, we've already passed the 2 week mark of when the album was going to release. A lot of people wondered if she'd release Fortnite.
I was hoping.
I know, like, release a single 2 weeks before, you know, like, what is the 2 weeks? I'm so intrigued to know what that means. Maybe.
Ooh, do you think they broke up for like a period of 2 weeks?
Maybe.
Because we had talked about, like, I mean, you even think about, oh my gosh, You're Losing Me.
Yeah.
And we had talked about in that little time span of, I don't think it was very long that they weren't near each other before we saw them in public again together.
That's
so that
true.
Could be about 2 weeks.
Fortnite?
I don't know. I'm just like making stuff up, obviously. Oh,
yeah.
But
oh, yeah. The Fortnite, it could be the 2 week period, you know, where, because we talked about, I'm like, it's wild to me that she wrote You're Losing Me a little over a year before they broke up. And if she was feeling that way, like, what did the rest of their relationship look like? It's almost like, did she write that when they were broken up for 2 weeks and then he did something to like do something, babe, say something. Yeah. Maybe he did something.
Yeah. I need to know what he did.
I know. And they got back together for a time. It could be a period of 2 weeks of like, maybe they broke up 2 weeks before tour started. Maybe, maybe the sister album will come out in 2 weeks.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm even thinking, what if this has something to do with the very beginning of the relationship? And it's like a retrospective looking back. Maybe there was something that happened in a period of 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's
back in
true.
That summer of 2016.
Yeah.
I don't know. So many thoughts. Because I feel like Fortnite, I don't know. I guess it's just like a period of 2 weeks, but I don't know. We'll see.
I know.
I'm excited.
See. Me too.
All right. So track number two is called The Tortured Poets Department, and it's 4 minutes and 53 seconds.
Which is
and
a longer one.
I actually didn't see like a whole lot of people discussing this song online. There weren't a ton of theories that I found. So it'll be really interesting.
I feel like because the title is the same as the album, like it doesn't really, it's harder to read into because like we've, you know, talked about his group chat and how it relates to that, but there's nothing past that to really talk about. But I mean, it's the name of the album and she doesn't always, she does not always have a track titled the same thing as the album. So it's got to be important.
Yeah.
But we don't have a lot of theories around it because.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are just like, I have no idea. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is her kind of making a dig at his like group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just her talking about even just her feelings?
Mm-hmm.
And how she feels tortured, but maybe she, I don't know, is still in love. Like, I really have no idea on this one.
I know, me either.
So,
Luckily, we'll find out in a few days.
For reals, for reals.
The next song title is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. And the song is 3 minutes and 23 seconds long. And wow, that title is loaded.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Loaded. Not to get dark, but like, I mean, my initial reaction to that is like an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. Well, and I found this quote. Somebody had posted this quote by E.E. Cummings. I'm just going to read it. It says, "You have played, I think, and broke the toys you were fondest of and are a little tired now. Tired of things that break and just tired. So am I." Mm. And somebody connected that back to the line, getting tired even for a phoenix.
Mm.
And I'm like, ooh, interesting. Because I'm sure she's like really into poetry. She's probably heard this quote. And you think about it, like, you've played and you've broken with these toys that you're the fondest of. Like, you've broken me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're kind of tired of this now. Like, you're tired of the... In my head, I'm thinking she could be saying, like, I'm tired of the relationship. You're mm-hmm. tired of me. You're tired of the things that break. Like, maybe she's even saying, you're tired of me and probably my emotions and, you know, and now she's like, but you know what? Like, I'm tired too. Like, I'm tired of this. I'm done with this.
I could definitely see that. That quote says a lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Interesting. And then it could also be a little bit of like a callback to delicate.
Yeah. Which is super interesting.
Yes.
Because I loved like when we had our discussion, we don't need to get like too into it, but we talked about delicate and how like now knowing they broke up and some things that have happened, looking at that song differently.
Yes.
So if that is a connection to this, like, did she really feel like this whole thing was that delicate?
Yeah. I mean,
and when did it come so delicate? And
even before, well, I'm trying to think. Maybe it wasn't before the album was announced. For sure, before the track list was announced, I was like realizing that she seemed to feel unsure throughout the relationship. And we probably talked about this in our music deep dives, but like even in Reputation, even in New Year's Day, that's just like the cutest song, she still she says things like, please don't ever become a stranger whose laugh I could recognize anywhere. Yeah. Like, please, I don't want this to end. And she had multiple songs throughout the next few albums that have similar things that she's saying. And so it's like she almost always felt a little unsure.
Yeah. Like, but it was always just on the edge of breaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm excited to hear that one too.
Me too.
All right. Track number 4 is called Down Bad, and it's 4 minutes and 21 seconds. And I also did not find a lot of theories on this one either. There's not a ton. I don't know if you've seen anything.
I haven't, but I mean, I can only imagine that this is one that I think will catch us by surprise. I think it might, based off the title, we might feel like it's going to be like a somber, sad song. It'll be like, oh my gosh, what am I trying to think of? I'm trying to think of a specific song and it's not coming to me, but where it has an upbeat, like it's different. It's like upbeat, but it's a breakup song.
Okay.
Like I could see this song
being something like that.
Being like that.
Or for some reason, super depressing. I almost feel like it's going to be a little edgy vibe with maybe a little anger.
Oh yeah. I could.
I don't know. I mean, like, obviously, like we keep saying, I don't know. It's because nobody knows.
Yes.
But especially as track 4, I feel like those ones are a little bit more.
Well, and
kind of push a little edgier, a little bit stronger,
and
because then track 5 comes after that.
Track 5 is always really vulnerable, and I don't know why, like, Down Bad and being track 4, I'm just taken back to Reputation, and track 4 Reputation is Don't Blame Me. And
that's exactly, I think, what, like, the vibe I'm going for. Yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah, kind of like, we would put it in that anger playlist.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
That's kind of what I'm guessing.
It's either going to be upbeat and edgy, or it's going to be like super depressing. But I would be shocked if there's like a way depressing sad song right before track five.
Yeah, I don't see that. That's the only reason I'm not guessing that it's more depressing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, go ahead and introduce track five, but I think that's what's going to be just a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to just start bawling.
I know.
At our party.
Ah, I know.
So long.
Oh my gosh. So speaking of So Long London.
Yes.
That's our next song, track five. And it's this is important because it has a comma. Punctuation matters.
Yes.
So it's 4 minutes and 22 seconds long, and it's So Long, comma, London. And so basically, like, what if because of where the comma is placed, it's like London is saying goodbye to her?
Ugh, when I saw that theory, I was like, that is not what I was expecting, but
no.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Because, yeah, like, London's, like, saying goodbye to her, you know? Oh, my gosh. That hit. I was like, oh, interesting. Interesting, interesting.
I know. I think this one is going to be sad.
Oh, it's going to be so sad.
Like, really sad.
And I'm, like, so ready for it. I love track five songs so much. They're always in my top like three favorites on an album.
Yes.
Like, give me another All Too Well.
Yes.
That's what I need.
Yes.
And I feel like she knows that track fives are important. She knows the meaning of them.
Mm-hmm. She's very
picky. And I don't think she's going to let us down.
Yeah. Yes. She's very picky what she puts there. So
she is going to deliver. And I think it is going to be very All Too Well vibes.
Yeah. I do too. Oh,
that one, I'm ready. Give it to me.
Yes.
Okay. So track six is But Daddy, I Love Him. And it's 5 minutes and 40 seconds, which is actually the longest song on the album. So it's kind of exciting. Some theories that we've seen are some people are wondering, like, what if Joe had a problem with her past relationship? And you're going to just love this whole thing, Jess.
Oh, I've already had literally, no, I've had these thoughts all on my own.
Oh, really?
So it's fine.
Look at you. You're the theory behind it.
Are we surprised?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised. So basically people are wondering, like, what if Joe had a problem with her past relationships and the songs that were written about them, or like encounters when she met them at different places? Especially because we're going to bring up Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
I just love that you love that so much. And wondering if, like, Joe would give her grief about their past relationships, because Harry Styles wore a t-shirt that says, "But Daddy, I Love Him," which is a line from The Little Mermaid. And he actually wore that shirt after declining to play Prince Eric in the live action remake, which I didn't even know he declined that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I like found that out. I was like, that's cool. So that's why he wore that shirt right after he declined the part. And so some people are wondering if it's in reference to Harry Styles wearing that shirt. I'm more of the opinion that her parents, probably her dad, sat her down and was like, this doesn't seem like a great relationship. Like, I love you. I want to, you know, tell you my opinion. And I think she came back from a place of like, but Daddy, I love him. Like, I love him. We're going to make this work. We're going to fight through it. So
I can fix him. No, really, I can.
Yeah. No, like another connection to that. I really think so. That's what I think. But I do love the Harry Styles theory.
Yeah. So I'm a little torn, because that phrase is so specific. Like, it's so specific. And we've talked about all of our connections we've made of Little Mermaid / Ariel to Taylor and things that she's done in the past, including dressing up as her for a party.
Like, you know that Ariel and that movie is a big deal to her.
Yes. And But Daddy, I Love Him, like, it absolutely stems from that. Like, no questions asked. It makes it really tough that Harry wore a shirt that said exactly that. Because so my thing is that I absolutely would not be surprised if Joe had a hard time with Taylor writing songs about people like Harry.
Yeah.
And we know from our music deep dives that she was still writing music about him into her and Joe's relationship. Like,
yeah,
she was still writing Harry songs. And so, there's so much to say, but basically, I mean, I've had the thought, I don't remember if we've said this in past episodes, but I've had the thought that I've just thought about this a lot because I really wanted to talk about this today because I thought of it after we recorded our previous episodes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember or if you noticed, but especially into the later albums, but really if you look at Taylor's music about Joe as a whole, until You're Losing Me, it's super duper surface level. Like, really surface level. And even in later albums, when we were discussing them, we would say, oh, this totally gives us Reputation vibes and, like, going back to, like, the early days of their relationship when they were first starting. And, like, I really feel like we didn't get any solid Joe songs, like, during the middle of their relationship.
Yep, I agree.
And I feel like that's because he didn't want her to write about them.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, well, then I'll make up these characters for folklore and I'll pull inspiration from previous relationships. But then he has a problem with her pulling inspiration from previous relationships. And, you know, like, it could get messy. And that could be part, you know, play into Tortured Poets Department, where it's like, I'm trying to be creative and you're not letting me be creative. Like, you're blocking my creative freedom, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I could kind of see that being a theme. But as far as the song, But Daddy, I Love Him, I do agree with you where I feel like it could be a thing where, like, her dad sat her down and is like, is this really what you want? Like, is this a good situation? And, you know, she can probably see that there's issues and red flags, but Daddy, I Love Him. Like, It's hard to choose to leave someone that you love. Like, there's no question.
Sure.
Like, there's no question that Taylor loved him so much.
Yes.
That's not in question. So, that's kind of what I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting that this is the longest song, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I personally am guessing. It kind of gives me storyteller vibes where we're going to get, like, a story.
Yeah.
And I think because it's long, she's going to be able to tell, like, a whole story about some sort of moment in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could totally see that. Kind of like Champagne Problems vibes where it's like,
like, really I'm getting describing. This whole story about, I'm really excited about that one, too. I feel like I said that about, like, all of them.
I know,
but
all of them.
I really am just excited.
Yes. Okay, so the next song is track 7, and it's Fresh Out of the Slammer. And it's 3 minutes and 30 seconds long. And this one I'm so interested to hear what it sounds like and what it's about.
Yes. Yes. Because again, this one, I just feel like when you use the word slammer.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little more edgy, hard.
And also casual, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like I've seen people speculate that it's like Joe locked her in the basement. You know, like, not literally, but figuratively.
That's how
and
she
so
felt.
This is kind of like, this is like. Bejeweled, but tortured poets, you know?
Yeah, but interesting.
Fresh Out the Slammer to me is not what I would envision her describing, like, right, like after her and Joe breaking up, you know, like that's just kind of maybe like after like her and Calvin broke up.
Yeah.
Or something, you know,
but not like a word for Joe. So it'll be really interesting to see. I know. Cause in my head, this is this whole album as a whole. And I guess I could have talked about this earlier. Seems like it's going to be similar to Reputation, where it kind of takes you on like a timeline.
That's what I've been trying to decide if I like want to think of it as it's going to be kind of chronological or not.
Yeah.
Because it kind of seems like
it could be. I'm feeling like it will be.
Mm-hmm.
It totally could not be. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, whatever. But I just am like, okay, so I don't know. It just feels like it's going in a certain order.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of Calvin Harris, like some people did say that they wonder if like she would end up in the slammer if something went wrong in the getaway car, which totally connects to Calvin Harris and Tom Hiddleston. And now she's free from whatever went wrong. So like, it could.
Yeah, it's just like super interesting. I love when people make connections. They're like, okay, well, let's go back to Reputation, grab this getaway car. Like, so what if something had gone wrong? Or, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what if Joe was actually involved in this getaway car song, but wasn't really included?
Yeah.
And, or who knows? I don't know. But very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that one. This one confuses me. I don't really know what it's going to be about. Okay. Track A is Florida with 3 exclamation marks. And it's featuring Florence and the Machines. And it's 3:35. I think the biggest thing that I've seen speculated with this song is it was after the Florida show, was when the announcement came out that they broke up.
I think it was the Florida show was the first shows after
that she played after the announcement. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is so interesting.
Yeah. And that's another reason why I'm like, this has got to be going in chronological order.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's so weird because I would think like the first shows after the news broke would be like super hard to play.
Yeah.
But also like 3 exclamation points featuring Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
I'm like, this sounds like a banger, but
yeah,
the you know context,
but like we could also say
context is like not
absolutely. Well, and who knows what she's gonna throw us off with, because I felt like that was Slut.
True.
Like, and that we had were an all
exclamation
like,
point didn't
yeah,
it
exactly yeah it totally did, and we were all ready for some hardcore banger, and yeah, it was some blank space
2.0.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, it's really easy for her to throw us off.
Oh, yeah.
And she uses, like, exclamation marks and all sorts of things like that frequently.
Yeah.
And so, but I mean, three?
Three.
Three? Like, there's no way this is, like, a sad song.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, way more upbeat.
Okay, so the next song is track 9, and it's Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? It's the second longest song at 5:34. And some theories about this song online are that someone said it reminded them of the movie titled Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And the interesting thing about this movie is that the actors Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are the leads, which if you remember in the song Ready for It, Taylor says, he can be my jailer, Burton to this Taylor. And I mean, there's another jail reference to Fresh Out the Slammer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so it could be a reference to that. And then another really funny thing is that Joe's parents' names are Richard and Elizabeth, which it's is like, crazy.
What are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? So,
well, and the fact that, she's like used those names.
Yeah.
Like just their last name, but even It's just super interesting.
Yeah, and where it's such a long song too. What is this one going to be about?
Like, because what? Yeah.
When I was trying to figure out what song could be about Taylor, Travis.
Uh-huh.
Just based off the title, I wondered if this one could be one because, like, you know, maybe Travis is, like, intimidated of, you know, trying to go for her or something. But yeah. Based off the length, based off these potential connections, I'm like, And Who's Afraid of Little Old Me sounds a little like, I don't know what the word is I'm trying to think of, but just not about a new love interest.
Yeah, I agree. I'm almost wondering too, this just kind of came to me. What if she's almost hinting at Joe? Like, maybe he had said something at one point about, like, you better not write songs about me or like this breakup or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, why would you be afraid of me?
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid that I'm going to say?
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid is going to happen?
Because it, like, almost
this
sounds
backlash or this breakup.
It almost sounds sarcastic.
Or, yeah, kind
of
does.
Like, who's afraid of little old me? Like, I don't have power to make everybody hate you.
Yeah. Psych, I do. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because maybe, like, you know, I mean, I do get the vibes that Joe maybe made her feel small a lot in their relationship, but she deep down knows that, like, she is not small and she's important and she's powerful and she's talented and important and all these things. And maybe, like, she's like, why are you afraid of me? Like, you've never made me feel like I'm someone that's, like, worthy of,
ooh,
like, being feared, you know, because I'm.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just little old me, like, just little Taylor Swift. I don't
know. Interesting. I like that. I like that connection. Literally, though, I have to stop reading this title because all I can hear in my head is Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. Like, as soon as I start, I'm just like, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? That's not what the song is going to be like at all. But that's all I can hear in my head anytime I see this.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's weird, 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 weird. Okay, anyway, track 10 is called I Can Fix Him. No, Really, I Can. And this is actually the shortest song on the album at 2 minutes and 36 seconds. I also didn't see a lot of theories around this one, but I'm really excited to hear what this one is going to say.
Me
because
too.
If my, like, chronological order is right, I don't feel like this one would be about her fixing Joe.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be her trying to fix Matt Healy?
Yeah, this is one that I was like, if there's a Matt Healy song, it could be this one. I also love that it's super short.
Yeah.
Because their relationship was obviously really short.
Interesting, yeah.
And people were really, really surprised that she would date him because he is very controversial. Like,
yes,
in so many ways. And so that's like a really odd person for her to, like, it wasn't totally publicly dating, but it, I mean, people knew, like, we knew they were seen in public. Obviously we know if she doesn't want to be seen in public, she's not going to be,
she's not going to,
and I wouldn't be surprised, especially it being a rebound. Her maybe having that attitude, like, because the other thing too, that's unique about Maddie and Taylor is he has, like, had a crush on her for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Like, him getting to go out with her is, like, a huge deal for him. Like, he has wanted this, and they've been kind of friends, like, low key, you know, casual industry friends, whatever. And so she knows, I'm sure she's aware that he has had, like, a crush on her.
Yeah.
And she's probably thinking, like, he'll change for me. Like, yeah. He has, you know, he's really
like, if he's had his crush on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he can change his ways. And, but I love that it's the shortest song. Like, if this is a Matt Healy song and if it's the shortest song in the album, that's so perfect. Like,
oh, absolutely. I yes. I love that. Yes. I know. Part of me really does feel like that is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want it to be a Joe song in a weird way too.
Well, I kind of because like I can see her
wanting to.
Oh yeah,
say that about Joe too. Like, well,
I could totally.
I can
see
fix
that.
This. Like, I really can. That's why I stayed for 6 years.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of a theme I feel like I've seen throughout speculating their relationship.
Yeah.
Is that she always felt the responsibility to repair things. And it wasn't like a joint effort or an effort by him. It was always an effort by her. Like, oh, yeah. I messed up. Like, it's my fault. Like, we're fine. Or, you know, things like that. But it's interesting because if the connection to, but daddy, I love him, like where I was kind of like, but daddy, I love him. I can fix it. No, really, I can't. Like, you could put those in a sentence together and totally make sense. In my opinion, I would think that. Because that's, but Daddy, I Love Him is the longest song, and this is the shortest song. And I would actually, if I just went based, if you asked me which one was the longest and which one was the shortest based off their titles, I would have swapped them.
Yeah.
I feel like I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can would be, could take
a lot
longer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
But. If you look at it from the Matty Healy, it's like, well, yeah, obviously it's going to be the shortest.
Yes.
So I'm very intrigued to see what we learn from this song. And I'm hoping that it'll give us context to who it's about.
For sure. Okay. This next song I am beyond excited for.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Because I love, let me tell you what song it is.
Yeah, everyone's like, which one are we on?
Track 11, titled L-O-M-L, in all lowercase, so typically used as Love of My Life. The time that it is 4 minutes and 37 seconds long, and I am so excited for this song, because when the track list first came out, everyone's like, oh, Love of My Life.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that it does not say Love of My Life, and I've said this before on the podcast, one of my very favorite things that Taylor does in her lyrics and her songwriting is when she makes very slight changes to things throughout the song, like even a chorus that changes the meaning. And I will be beyond shocked if that is not what this song is. Like, people, like, you know, it could be so many things. It could be Love of My Life. It could be Lie of My Life. It could be Loss of My Life. It could be so many things. And I would not be surprised if it was used as an acronym so that it gave it the room to be able to evolve through the song.
Yeah.
And if it evolves through the song, I just know I'm going to love it so much.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you texted me that you thought this.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, if that is not what this song is, I'm going to be absolutely furious. Like,
yes.
That is one theory that I'm going to be angry if it does not come true.
I know.
Because it's so good.
Yes. Oh, I'm so, so, so excited to hear that one. Oh, and then so it's good. Interesting that it's an acronym, but they're all lowercase, which is a total throwback to like the Rep album.
Yep.
So.
No, absolutely. I really, my only theory is like, please have Jess's theory be right. That is like all I want.
That would be amazing.
Since you said that, I just can't get over it. I'm like, okay, well, this better come true.
I know.
All right, track 12 is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, and that's 3 minutes and 38 seconds. And again, like if we're kind of going through timeline order, I just kind of feel like this one's going to be her showing us that like she's moving on. Mm-hmm. And that like
she's healing, she's starting to heal.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I can do this tour with a broken heart. I can do life. Like I can, you know, because I have a feeling that like this took her a while to get over.
Oh yeah. And I'm sure it was so painful. I mean,
yeah,
we saw it in her face when she had to sing some songs on tour. It was painful.
It was.
She's like sobbing sometimes.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that video of her singing, was it Lover or?
No. Well, which Lover one was has it? Some videos. She
like, had the like Zane a tear. Song,
I Don't Want to Live Forever.
Oh.
Where she like is like wondering if I just dodged a bullet or lost the love of my life. L-O-M-L.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know, like she sang that so painfully. And yes, so many people made major comments about the way she sang Lover, because the way she has always sung it in the past has been so full of life and love and excited. And she would look pretty pissed sometimes singing Lover on tour. So, but this is a callback. I'm excited
for this one to like, I feel like this one's going to be one of those songs that whenever you're struggling with something and you have that like broken heart, you're going to put this song on and be like, if Taylor can do it, I can do it too. And one of those songs that she's like lifting up all of us Swifties to be like, I can do it. You can do it. Like, we're getting through this.
I am obsessed with You're On Your Own, Kid. And this just to me sounds like You're On Your Own, Kid 2.0.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. And it's also like interesting because, you know, I wonder if it'll be about doing the tour with a broken heart, because she even says in her Time Person of the Year article, she said, you know, like this tour has been amazing and like putting on the shows for the fans is so important to me. Like I'll do it in the rain and sick and brokenhearted. Like,
yeah,
you know. I mean, she's personally called that out. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. So many of these, I'm just so ready to hear.
I know. Okay, this next one is kind of funny. It's track 13. So I didn't really think about that before, that it's track 13. But
yeah,
it's called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and it's 4 minutes and 5 seconds long. And
honestly, so, whoever this is about.
I know.
Ouch.
This, I guess before I jump into these other comments, this is a song that I could also see being about Matt Healy.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I totally do. Honestly, it's a huge dig, whoever it's about, unless this is really throwing us for a loop and it's dun 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 all about her cats.
so funny.
People speculated that it could be about her cats purely because Taylor Nation made a post and it was a video of Taylor petting her cat Benjamin, and they like captioned on it like the smallest like with an O, boy who ever lived, which is so funny.
I would die. Like, could you imagine? It's just like about her cats.
It would be a 4 minute
song. It's just a 4 minute song about Benjamin.
Yeah. Probably won't be, but man.
Yeah, doubt it. This, I mean, she's thrown us off before, but
this is a loaded title.
Yeah.
Loaded. So
yeah. I am just like, who is this about?
Yeah.
Because once again, if I'm thinking chronologically, it's gotta be about Maddie Healy.
I mean, could throw out, it could be a Kanye or a Scooter song.
Ooh.
And take it a non-romantic route.
Yes.
Maybe.
Interesting. I had not even thought of that, but that absolutely, I could see her doing that.
Yeah. Like surrounding any of that drama. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she's moved on, but I mean, she's still singing about that on Midnight. So
yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm sure there's still feelings about all of
like,
that.
Honestly, that title to me, I could see more being about that kind of relationship than a romantic relationship, like a breakup
situation. I agree.
Maybe.
Ooh, I'm really leaning toward this being about like Scooter. Yeah. That's going to be my new theory.
Yeah. I mean, really, if I had to pick from those four people, like for sure he'd be at the top of my list as the smallest man who ever lived.
Yes.
Because while I do think that Taylor's breakup with Joe was super hard and heartbreaking, and while there were probably red flags and issues in the past, like she did love him. And I do feel like their split was mostly due to differences in like how they want to live their lives and, you know, personality differences. Like, I really do think the root of it was that. And so for her to come out and say this, I just don't see that being a joke.
No, I'm with you.
So.
Interesting. We'll see. All right. Track 14, The Alchemy, 3 minutes and 16 seconds. And Jess has been waiting to tell me. Or I should say, I have been waiting for Jess to tell me this theory that she's like, I'm just going to tell you on the podcast.
Yeah. So Carly was like, I wasn't really sure. Like, I didn't totally find anything about The Alchemy. I was like, I swear I've seen people say that there's some theory. So I'm going to look it up. And I looked it up tonight, right before we got on podcasting. And it is good.
Yes.
And like, I love it. I don't even know. I feel like I'm not going to do it justice because it hasn't been like simmering in my brain for 3 weeks or something. Like, it's very fresh.
For sure.
And maybe I'll even share the TikTok video that I got most of this from, like, to our Instagram stories or something.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because she goes through like the lyrics really well. But like, okay, for me, originally, The Alchemy, the word just sounds kind of like cool. Like, an exciting or like a cool thing. And so between the title, like the name and the placement on the album, originally I was thinking that, oh, maybe this is like a Travis song and this is her like transforming post relationship and like a new relationship starting and all that. But no, my mind has been mega changed.
All right, let's hear it.
And this is for sure a Joe song, like no doubt. Oh,
okay.
So this is the deal. What is a very, first of all, the definition, this is loose because I'm not reading it direct, but the basic like meaning of alchemy is the turning, like the transforming of lead into gold.
Okay.
But it doesn't really work, and it's kind of like a get rich quick scheme type thing. It doesn't really work. Like, you try and it doesn't really work. What is the word that Taylor uses to describe her relationship with Joe?
I don't know.
Heavy metal that I just said.
Oh, gold.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so this was really interesting. Okay. So the reason I love this TikTok is she goes through all like a bunch of the lyrics that Taylor has used gold in relation to in her discography.
Interesting.
And something I never totally realized that she explains is that, like, so she didn't really use gold much. Like leading up to Reputation, but then she started using it a bunch in Reputation. She used it a bunch in Reputation, a bunch in Lover, a little bit in Folklore, a little bit in Evermore, and not at all in Midnights, which is really interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But on top of that, like gold was always used positively. Like, you know, I thought love was burning red, but it's golden, or you know, and the invisible string, like she says gold. I'm like losing the lyrics because I'm so excited. Anyways,
one single thread of gold,
single thread of gold tied me to you. Like, so many gold.
I know it'll come to me.
Yes, so many gold references. But then you get to Evermore. And gold changes. Gold,
oh my gosh, no,
is used like more negatively. So, for example, we don't really think that champagne problems is about Joe.
Yeah.
But she does mention the Midas touch on the Chevy door. Mm-hmm. And that's a reference to King Midas or something, who everything he touched would turn to gold.
Interesting.
Which is kind of like alchemy vibes. And then also, she talked about Gold Rush, which I struggle with because I really think Gold Rush is about Harry. Oh,
yeah, we've talked about that.
But talking about taking the word gold and like that it starts to kind of go a negative way is like she's saying, like, I don't like a gold rush. I don't like.
Interesting.
And, like, she's saying like gold is like overwhelming her and it's like not a feeling that she likes, which is interesting. And so, again, I'll post a TikTok to our Instagram stories because she goes over it so much better than I could sit here and say. But
yeah,
I was like, this is going to, I feel like this song is going to be about like how Taylor thought all along that like, you know, this love was golden. And like, even if there were problems, like it was going to get better and it was going to continue to stay gold when really it didn't work. And it like, I don't know. I just,
love that.
I know.
I love that.
That feels like such, especially where it's the second to last track on the like standard edition of the album. To me, that feels like quite the ending point of like all this time it's been gold, it's been gold, it's been gold. And now it's like fake. I realized gold.
It's not. Yeah.
It's like,
ooh,
it's fake gold. I don't know.
I love that.
I know.
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it does seem like a really good placement for that kind of a song.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. So,
I know.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
So good. Okay, I talked a lot, so do you want to just...
Okay, I'll just do the next one.
Okay.
Because I didn't have anything for that one.
I know.
Like, I found something. I'm like, perfect. Okay, so track 15 is Clara Bow, and it's 3 minutes and 36 seconds. So I'm just going to read to you guys a lot of different things that I've seen about this person. So she was like the literal it girl of the silent film era, and had a lot of sadness, but also known for like love. So there were always lots of rumors regarding her sex life, and many of those were untrue. One tabloid actually tried to blackmail Clara and offered to stop printing the stories that they were black, like these crazy sex stories, for $25,000, which ended up leading to his arrest, and he got like 8 years prison sentence. Yikes. So she was able to like stop it. But like, very interesting that like tabloids sharing rumors about her love life. Girl, like
very like Taylor Swift. We know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's so, like Rebecca Harkness 2.0.
Oh yeah. I absolutely think this is going to be a song similar to that.
Yeah.
Like, here's this lady that I found in the past, and how my life is like hers.
Yes.
So she's also known for having a fun and affable personality, but she still suffered from an overloaded work schedule, which I think is interesting, celebrity scrutiny, and lingering traumas of her upbringing. Says she had been associated with a number of men off screen, and her romantic life became the object of much hurtful speculation and gossip. Just like, once again, like this is, I could hear that and be like, oh yeah, that's Taylor Swift. Like,
honestly, this is exactly what happened. She has not written a song about this woman yet. Right? Is shocking.
For reals though, for reals. So some of the gossip included a pamphlet put forth by an assistant with stories of all of her relationships. And so in 1931, she actually ended up having a breakdown and entered a sanitarium. But then she married a man, and they moved to a ranch in Nevada. and had two kids. So kind of like left the spotlight, went out to this ranch, had two kids. Themes seemed great until she began to suffer from the isolation that she felt. She became reclusive and nervous about being in the spotlight, and then just kind of like really struggled because she began to suffer in isolation. And I'm just like, what? Well,
that's why she hasn't written a song about this yet.
Yeah. She like hadn't realized that part yet.
I didn't know that last piece. I'd heard all of that until she married someone, like that, moved to a ranch, struggled from isolation. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is wild.
There is a poem called When Battling Bill the Bowery Fell for Clara Bow, which, Bowery. Interesting, when battling Bill, similar to William, of the Bowery, William Bowery, that was Joe's pseudonym for when
that
they...
That is literally the most ridiculous coincidence in the world.
Right?
Because that is a pure coincidence. Because the way that they, like, we just posted to our Instagram, like, the way they chose his pseudonym obviously had literally nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. So, like, what are the odds?
That is insane.
I know. So, I forgot to double check this. So, I should have checked things. But somebody said that Sunset and Vine is where Clara Bow's star is. In Hollywood.
Oh.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yes.
And then I thought this was interesting. When she returned to acting, she did wear like scandalous outfits, and her husband actually shamed her for doing that, which led to a fight in which Clara, which I love this, told him, "I make the big bucks in this family, and this brought in that paycheck."
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, oh, but like, I don't know. That also seems to have similar vibes. I could see Joe maybe being upset about some of the things that Taylor did. Yeah. She's like, hey, like, I can do what I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'll post this to our Instagram too, but her Grammy outfit actually matches a Clara Bow photo. So
I just saw that kinda cool. Recently, like the necklaces.
Yeah.
Because remember, people were like, what is with the necklaces? It's Clara Bow.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah. So, honestly, like I mentioned, I really do think that this is just going to be very similar to the Rebecca.
Last Great American Dynasty.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, so fun.
But I just think it's fun to, like, know all those little facts about her background. So.
Yeah. I think that'll be way super important interesting. For the song. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun. Okay. As we are trying to wrap up, there's so much to talk about. Yeah. So I hope you guys are eating up this super extra long episode, because
I know
it's only going to be one episode. It'll just be extra long, as you can tell. Sorry, we're warning you of that too late. So
yeah.
You're already in deep. next, we're going to talk about the different variants of the album. So the first variant, which... So each variant has a different, like, bonus track, but all of, like, the basic variants have the manuscript, right? Like, I don't think you can get it without the manuscript.
Oh, maybe.
It's a bonus track, but I don't think you can get, like, this is the first variant. There aren't any other variants before this without it. Does that... Makes sense.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm not sure. I always thought that it was just option one would have the manuscript, option two would have the Bolter, but not the manuscript. So I don't know.
No, it is. It is.
Oh, but that's what you're saying.
There's not like an album with all the songs we just talked about and not a bonus track. Like each album has a bonus track.
Yes. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So the first one is the manuscript, and I have nothing to say about it.
I know. Yeah, I have no idea. I'm like,
I have no idea.
I literally have no idea.
I will say, just skipping ahead a little bit, but the other variants I do feel strongly are like Joe inspired.
Yeah.
The titles. And so I don't know if that means I assume that the manuscript is Joe-inspired or not. But yeah, probably.
That's my guess. Because yeah. Like what you said, all the other ones just seem so Joe-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't this one be?
Yeah.
But as to what it's going to be about, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. So
I guess with this long episode, we can skip to variant two.
And we don't have any track links for bonus tracks.
Yeah.
So
there's that too.
And you won't. Yeah, so, but I guess that, that is something to say.
You're good.
If you do not buy an album, if you are only listening on Spotify, you will only be able to listen to the previous, 15 songs? Yeah, 15 uh-huh. songs. Like,
yeah.
None of these songs will be on streaming initially.
So sad.
I know.
Okay, so variant two has this track called The Bolter. I guess Bolter. Some interesting things that I found is there's a book called The Bolter by Frances Osborne. And it's a story about a British aristocrat who was married and divorced 5 times and then eventually moved to Kenya. And she was cheated and used financially by a lot of different guys.
Hmm.
So kind of interesting. There's also a movie called The Bolter. And the description of this movie says, quote, James is livid with his wife, with her behavior and her self-imposed humiliation.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that has anything to do with it.
Yes, agreed, agreed, agreed. If you look up the term a bolter in regards to a woman, it's considered to be a woman who breaks the rules and flees her marriage, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So that also really easily seems to give me Joe vibes. Not saying that they were married, but she's like, I'm out. You know,
yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. fleeing this relationship. So some other things I've seen people talk about, too, is the bolter being is in terms of
favorite.
Joe, who would run for the car every time they were together to not be seen by the paparazzi.
I love that.
Because he absolutely did that.
Yeah, there's videos
every
of him
time.
literally sprinting to the car, holding her hand, dragging her behind him. Just run. And also
down,
the picture of them in the hoodies that are they have their hoods up and cinched so you can't see their faces. Just I don't want to be seen.
He
together
did not want to be seen.
At all costs.
Yeah. Not at all. And then the last thing I saw was apparently Bolter is a bar in London.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of another interesting.
Lots of good theories for this one.
Oh yeah. This one could go so many different ways. So mm-hmm. many different ways. So which one I think it'll be, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards, I really like the regards to a woman considered who breaks the rules and flees her marriage.
Yeah.
But also the movie one I kind of like too.
Yeah, I could see the movie one totally. I'm really curious to hear the bonus tracks because it's interesting that they're on 4 separate albums and you can't listen to them all in one place. And I'm curious to see if it feels like there's any insight to that based off of their content or if it's purely just marketing or if there's a creative reason behind it.
I
don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I guess we'll find out soon.
We will.
Hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. So variant three is called Albatross. And this one has another decently long list of
theories,
pretty solid theories and what albatross means in different ways. And so when you call someone an albatross, they cause you great problems from which you cannot escape, or they prevent you from doing what you want to do, which
total
really,
Joe vibes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I could totally see that.
Yep.
And then another thing is that this is the largest bird that can go years without landing on land. They will land on water. So the albatross spends the first 6 years of their life flying over the ocean before coming to land to mate. It's capable of traveling more than 10,000 miles in a single journey. Wow. Okay. So the connection to that, Taylor and Joe dated for 6 years, and a lot of their relationship was likely spent flying over the ocean, traveling back and forth to each other. And it is interesting that after 6 years, I guess we don't totally know for sure, but I'm curious if they never really had like a solid home base.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Because she spent a lot of time in London.
Yeah.
But was I'm it sure his she felt place? Like home was here too.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And then another thing is that the phrase alludes to a poem in which a sailor who shoots a friendly albatross is forced to wear its carcass around his neck as punishment. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, how do people find these things?
I know.
That's what I want to know. Man.
I know. This one is just a lot. Yeah. Too. Like, I don't know how I feel about it because there's a lot of like Easter eggs, but also I'm like, wow, this is a lot.
Yeah.
So Taylor sang Coney Island after announcing the albatross, like directly after.
Yeah.
And guess what happened in Coney Island in 1903? a fire. I know it's wild. A fire that was started by one of the Albatross hotel employees because of unrequited love at the west end of the Bowery, which like, is
how did all of that
literally
sink into one sentence?
Yes. And then all I mean it. I really hate anything that involves math like this, but
we have to say it.
1 plus 9 plus 0 plus 3 equals 13. So,
like,
there's that.
13 this, that won, one kills me.
13 won the thing. Super Bowl, just saying.
Oh my gosh.
And then this is one of my favorite things connected to the albatross. So, the imagery used on the cover of her variant albatross, it's if you've probably seen the picture, but Taylor is standing, it looks like she's wearing a men's button-up shirt,
yeah,
and her hair is kind of messy and she's kind of like got like a blank background, maybe the ocean, she's just kind of staring through the camera, and it looks like if you put them side by side, I mean it is like identical.
Yeah.
Of a film poster from a film that Joe was in, that he starred in. He's on the poster. And he played, his role was very terrible husband.
It's just like,
what?
That, I really like this theory. I hope that this is the theory that this song is based off of.
Yeah. But do you know what's interesting is, like, I mean, even if it's a Joe song, like, she might not even bring up that movie or whatever, but it's almost like, I mean, we all know Taylor can be, like, petty, but, like, we love it.
Oh, absolutely.
To me, I could see this being, like, she's not going to come out and say anything about that movie or that the cover is similar to it, but, like, Joe knows.
Oh, yeah.
Like Joe she just knows, did it like,
because, yep.
You know, I don't know. It's so it's so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm excited because of that last theory and just like the similarities of that album cover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intrigued to see if it fits with that vibe or not.
Yes.
So, okay, last variant, you guys. So variant 4, the Black Dog. A couple of things. This is a pub in London. So once again, and we know they like frequented those. So
yeah,
could be something with that. The meaning in slang for a black dog is like melancholy, sadness, regret, or depression. So probably going to be a sad song.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is also super interesting. So Clara Bow wrote a letter to her black dog Diablo, and I'm going to just like read it because I think it's super interesting. So she says, "What had habit done to me? The habit of complaining, of finding fault, of reprimanding you. All of these were my rewards to you for being a little dog. It was not that I didn't love you. It was just that I expected too much of a little puppy. And there was so much that was good and fine in your little dog character. You did not deserve my treatment of you, Dobby. The little heart of you was as big as the dawn itself over the desert hills. All this was shown by your spontaneous impulse to rush in and kiss me goodnight.
What the heck?
Right?
Wow.
What? Like, there are so many, like, when I read that too, it really gives me the same vibes that we were talking about back in, like, Afterglow.
Yes.
Or
the Great,
like,
War.
Great War. Yeah. Where it's like, it was not that I didn't love you. It was just that I expected too much from you.
Yeah. Which is like, like a self gaslighting thing, you know, and which she totally did in those songs.
Yep. Well, and even like, what had habit done to me? The habit of complaining, of finding fault, and of reprimanding you. Like, I'm ready to hear this song because I really hope that it goes with all of that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, and then the last thing is the archaic euphemism. It is an archaic euphemism for depression. So, I mean, if you look at like the slang in that, it doesn't totally fit the poem vibe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll just see what she decides to go with.
Hmm.
So yeah. That poem, though, killed me.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. I shouldn't say this without looking it up. I feel like she played a Joe song. So she announced all these variants during the surprise song set on tour. Uh-huh. And I swear this song, maybe it was just the Albatross and she played Coney Island. But I swear she played After the Black Dog, like a very specific Joe song right after. And everyone was like, whoa.
She probably did.
There's a message. But that might have actually been after the first variant. I don't know. It happened like the Bolter.
Yeah.
It might have been for the Bolter, but I mean, yeah.
I don't remember.
Definitely been a lot of pretty blatant points to Joe.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, how could
especially on these variants. Yeah.
You know, how could it not?
Yeah.
So, wow. So,
we made it through all the songs.
We did. So, to end us off, we thought it would be super fun to have each of us predict some like outcomes and like personal preferences and things like that before listening, just based off of all these things that we've talked about. And then after listening to the album next, like after this week, we will see if we like we're on the right track as far as like these predictions go, or like if we're totally
off. Yeah.
So basically what we're going to do is each of us are going to pick a song that we're most excited to hear, what we think will have the best bridge, which song will be like a jaw dropper, which one will be a fan favorite, and which one we will have on repeat, and then one that will be underrated. So do we want to like just say the first? Do you want to go through
we'll
all of yours
like the same time? No, let's do them at the same time. So Okay. So the one that I'm the most excited to hear is "But Daddy, I Love Him."
Okay, and then the one that I'm most excited to hear is "LOML," which
It's like because your theory better be correct.
I would love it so much.
All right, which one do you think is going to have the best bridge?
The Alchemy.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know.
I put "So Long, London."
Yeah.
Just because I'm really hoping for a good track five bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that All Too Well. Give me.
How can it not? You know? How
can it's
it
got
not?
To. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Jaw dropper. What do you think the jaw dropper is going to be?
I said it's going to be "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart." I feel like it's just going to be even more, but like a jaw dropper in the sense of like, wow, I can't believe you just said that. Like, and the emotions behind it.
Yes.
Jaw dropper.
Yes. Like in awe.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. These were, we have to admit, this was like really hard to pick.
It was.
Like, really hard to be like, oh, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. We should post these on our social, like in our stories.
Yes.
And have other people write in their answers.
Theirs. That's a good idea.
Or if you just listen on Spotify, like, you can give us your answers below, too. Because I'm very curious to see what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
So, could be fun.
So, the one that I think is going to be a jaw dropper is the smallest man who ever lived.
I hope so.
I think it's going to be savage.
Yeah.
I really do.
Love it. I hope so.
Oh, man.
Okay. Fan favorite. I put, I can fix him. No, really, I can. I feel like that's going to be a popular one. But
I could see that, especially that was the shortest one. And I feel like, so her previous on, well, her shortest song ever was a 1989 Vault track, which was Now That We Don't Talk. And that one, everyone loves
that one. Yeah.
So short and sweet, you know.
I'm hoping that's the same vibe. So we'll see.
Could win everyone over.
Yeah.
The one I think will be the fan favorite is Fresh Out the Slammer.
Mm, I could see, because that's got to be like a fun, upbeat.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, we don't know. We'll see. Okay. Two more. Which one do you think you're going to have on repeat?
We put the same one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't even know that. Yeah.
No, we put Fortnite. So that's one we matched up on.
I think I'm going to listen to that one a lot.
Yeah.
I normally listen to track ones a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just a really good starter for an album. And I love Post Malone. So I think it'll be good.
I don't want to say collaborations are risky, but you never know how they're going to be received.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of people, like, at first people were kind of like bummed that Taylor didn't have as many like surprise guests on the Eras tour.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, like, people actually really were like, actually, like, I really just am here for you. Like,
yeah,
I prefer things when it's just you. And like, even with the song Evermore, I really prefer her version from the Eras tour by herself versus
it's so good
Bon Iver. And so, like, sometimes, like, as crazy as it sounds, like, a collaboration, like, almost, I mean, this sounds horrible to say, but, like, waters it down a little bit. But if she's putting it as track one, I'm like,
oh, she's got to be super confident in it.
It's got to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, okay, which one do you think is going to be underrated?
I put Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Probably just because I feel like I cannot get out of my head Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf.
Oh my gosh.
So I like have it pretty low on my like expectations list, and I'm hoping that it's like a little underrated.
Okay. So you personally feel like to you it seems underwhelming, but it will surprise you almost.
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah.
I think so. Mine is more like the general, like, what everyone will kind of what will be underrated. And honestly, like, now that I'm thinking about my answer, I put Tortured Poets Department, and I feel like I put that mostly because I think people are going into that song not like overly excited to hear it. And it's,
I mean, there
surprise.
Hasn't been a lot of
like, it's gonna surprise people, and people are gonna be like, oh my gosh, yes,
I hope you know. I'm excited to hear that one too.
Yeah.
As I've said with like all of them.
Yeah. We are excited for all of them.
I mean, I really am. So
yes.
I also think it'd be fun to rank our songs just like based off of pure guess and share them to our social media. So I'm going to make a template in our stories today so you can screenshot that and make your own rankings and tag us, and then we'll reshare them so we can see like what everybody's guesses are for ranking based off of absolutely nothing, but we love it. And then we can kind of compare to what we actually think once the album's released. So
yes, that would be super fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that idea. So make sure you head to our Instagram at typicaltuesdaynight.podcast so that you can screenshot that and reshare on your stories so we can share your or see your rankings as well. And we'll make sure to post ours today too. So
yeah. And then if you enjoyed this episode, would you please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify? If you're listening on Spotify, just like hit the 5 stars in the top corner. If you're on Apple, you just scroll down, hit 5 stars. And it just like really helps other people know that people love the podcast and that they should give it a listen too. So,
yes, it really does help us so much. And we know you all can't wait for Friday, and neither can we. The Tortured Poets Department album, it feels like I've been waiting for you all my life.
Yep. Okay, bye, guys.
Okay, bye.